Hello, everybody, and welcome to the Business Accelerator Call. This is Lisa Minnini with Accelerate Associates. I'm so glad that you're here. I know some of you are still getting on the call, so thank you. Thank you for coming today. And I know what it takes to be on this call and rearrange your schedule, so thank you for being here. Just a few announcements before we get started. Oh, and by the way, if this is your first Business Accelerator Call, this happens every second Tuesday of the month, same time, same place. And the purpose of the Business Accelerator Call is to take a deeper dive into one of the three elements of the Entrepreneurial Edge system: mastering your inner entrepreneur, systematizing and monetizing your business, and executing your business blueprint. And that actually ties right into the first announcement that I have. Don't forget that the Wake Up Profitable is going to be April 25th and 26th, Monday, Tuesday this year, 2016. It is going to be in Farmington Hills, Michigan. If you haven't got a confirmation email yet from me, that means you're not registered, and you want to make sure that you do at wakeupprofitable.com. And, you know, bring a friend. Everybody gets a bring a friend ticket. The information is will be in your email once you register. So let's see, what else do we have? I think that's the bigger event that's coming up. And remember, you can always join us at the Profitability Lab introductions. Those happen the first Thursday of the month. We have a couple of extra ones, and we've expanded in Grand Rapids. As you know or may have heard, I also have Profitability Lab Leaders, authorized lab leaders. So the first one is in Grand Rapids. So if you are located in Grand Rapids, Michigan, then you might want to tie into the Profitability Lab introductions on that side. So a lot more stuff is happening around the Accelerate Success Institute, and we're really happy, and I'm so pleased to introduce my guest today. We're going to get right into today. Kevin Vaughn is my special guest today, and he is the CEO of A1 Networks Consulting, specializing in a wide range of services, including tailored IT services and solutions for small and medium-sized businesses and their owners in Livonia, Michigan. And you know, what I really love about Kevin and his team is they're really committed to providing their clients with a really high-quality, responsive service. And they're very friendly every step of the way. And the other approach really that they take starts with an investigation of your company and what you need so that they understand if there is a fit or not for their services. So we're going to talk all about today about having drama-free IT. You know, when you think of systems, a lot of people automatically go to computer systems. You know, from taking the systems approach, it means more than that. It's like, how does everything tie in together? How do you systematize it? And you use your computer systems every day. They're the lifeline of your business. And I'm sure we've all been there. When they cease to work, it creates all kinds of problems, sometimes drama. That's why today's drama-free IT. So these computer systems, you know, it's too late to wait until something goes wrong. I am talking from experience here. So in this Business Accelerator Call, we're going to look at the top three mistakes that small business owners make in their IT infrastructure when growing their business. We're going to talk about a step-by-step plan to assess your current IT readiness, and the number one thing that you need to be doing right now so that you're not caught off guard. Because, you know, your computer system goes down, it could mean the difference between profitability or the poorhouse, and you don't want to be in that position. So let's just, Kevin, welcome to the Business Accelerator Call.
Thank you, Lisa. Thank you for that warm introduction as well. I appreciate that.
Well, you know, in the time I've worked with you and known you, one of the things that I appreciate most about you, Kevin, is your high level of not only service but integrity and trust. And that for IT systems means so much, because everything that you do is on your computer nowadays. Now, I'm sure you see the worst of the worst. You get those phone calls when the computer, you know, there's a circle of death, I call it, or the or the blank screen, blue screen. What kind of call do you get the most often that really makes your heart sink?
Lisa, thank you very much for that question. And let me just start out really quick with a definition that will sort of set the framework for really all the questions I'll answer today. And let's just first define readiness. Readiness is a willingness to do something. For example, Lisa had indicated a readiness to accept the terms. Or another example, the state of being fully prepared for something. Mm-hmm. That's readiness. So let's get on to your question now. That's just to set the framework for all of our questions today, and I'm actually going to end with that definition as well. So let's get on to your question, which was,
what call
do I get most often
that
makes my heart sink?
Right.
Well, the call will be something like this. Hi, my name is Joe or Jill. I've been referred to you through someone I know, and I'm looking at my computer right now. The screen is black or it's blank. Mm-hmm. There's a blinking cursor. I've restarted the computer. It went through an automatic repair but could not complete. And it said to call your system administrator, so I called you. You know, right then and there, my heart sinks. Right then and there, I know that this is something pretty drastic. Mm-hmm. Now, it's not hopeless at that point because I'll ask them some additional diagnostic questions. I might say, well, do you have a recent copy of your data? Usually there's a long silence.
And you know what the answer is going to be, right?
That's right. Then they'll say something like, I was just going to do that.
Uh-huh. I've been there.
About that time my heart sinks. Yes, you have. Okay. About that time my heart sinks because I know that, you know, they don't have a copy or they don't have a recent copy. But I also want them to start feeling better right away, so I try to ask them a few more questions. I'll say something like, well, do you have anything on there that you wouldn't want to lose? You know, sometimes the answer is yes, sometimes it's no. If it's no, I still don't let it go because I want to really be sure what we're dealing with and to what kind of lengths I need to go to get their data back. So I'll say, look, do you have anything on there like pictures? Do you have any grandchildren? Do you have any graduation pictures on there? Is there any wedding videos on there? Do you have any documents like tax programs or tax documents? Once I start asking those questions, then people suddenly realize, oh, wait a minute, my whole life's on this thing. Mm-hmm. I may not have what I need where I need it. It's about that time that my heart sinks just a little bit more.
Oh.
So what makes my heart sink? It's finding out that someone's on the other end of the phone, they got a computer problem, and they don't have a backup.
Oh. So, you know, having a backup, and that's a common mistake you see still today, even though there's lots of ways to back up data. Okay.
Absolutely. I mean, probably twice a month we get that specific call.
Wow.
It's that common. Yeah, it is that common.
Wow. So, you know, we have a lot of people that are pretty technically savvy now. Do you find them more or less, you know, technically proficient these days? Like, do they think they know it all and try to do it themselves?
Well, you know, Lisa, that's quite interesting. Let me just do it like this. You know, 5 years ago, you know, people couldn't even find the system tray. If I said, you know, go down the system tray, click on this, they'd say, system tray, what is that? And I'd have to say something like, well, you know that little clock in the bottom right-hand side clock? I said, yeah, the digital clock. Oh, yeah, yeah. And then they would find that. So 5 years ago, people couldn't even find the system tray in order for me to be able to ask them some diagnostic questions like, you know, what is running in your system tray?
Mm-hmm.
3 years ago, people could find the system tray. They could copy and paste a program that you had them download and follow directions. 2 years ago, they became able to get an email, click on a link, install a program, and let you take remote control over the computer. So things have, you know, people have changed, technology have changed. People went from not being able to cut and paste to being able to allow you access to the computer. So things have changed quite a bit. But here's the thing about information technology. Every 18 months in IT land is like a decade in regular time. So every 18 months, everything's changing. So people have to keep up, or at least try to keep up. Therefore, people more or less are becoming more technically proficient these days.
Which could be, you know, which could be good and not good, as you described. Why do people need to, you talk about, too, I know you and I have had some offline discussions about migrating to Office 365. So first of all, what is Office 365? Is there a, a 180? And
yeah.
And what is, what is it, and how do small businesses use it?
All right, I'm so glad you asked that question. First of all, Office 365 is your Microsoft Office program. Think about Office 2003, 2007, 2010, Office 2013. Think about Word, Excel, Outlook. Think about PowerPoint. Those things make up an Office suite. Mm-hmm. And really, on 95% of all computers in the world, there's typically a Office suite of one of those versions. Well, Microsoft has figured out that the subscription model is very profitable. They figured out that the support model of supporting their products through a subscription is very profitable. And what they figured out is that people tend to want the latest and the greatest, but they don't always want to shell out $300 or $400 or $600 every other year for the newest version of, in this case, Office.
Mm-hmm.
So what they've done is they come up with a model where it's Office 365, meaning 365 days of whatever the current version is. If they upgrade during that time, you can upgrade free to that point, or you can wait. Oftentimes I tell people, wait, because it may not be compatible. The bugs may not be worked out.
Okay.
So you have the choice of waiting or moving on to the next version if you're so inclined. Microsoft has invested over $15 billion and 30,000 engineers just on this cloud infrastructure, just on making sure that these applications that now run locally on your desktop near the system tray and in the cloud, so that they're maintained proficiently for you. They help your productivity. They give you superior support. In fact, they give us superior support. We, too, have to call support for some of our customers depending on the problem. So it's even better for us, and we like it. Here's the next thing. They're scalable. Office 365 is scalable. Today you have 2 employees. Tomorrow you have 3. 2 weeks from now you have 10. 3 months from now you're back to 8. Well, instead of paying $389 for each for a copy of Office 2013, you have the subscription model, and you can increase and decrease as you go. They grow, expand, and contract with you. No more of this, I'm locked in, I just shelled out $2,000 for X copies of the full Office suite. And that's another point. Not everybody needs the full Office suite. Some people will need Outlook and email only. Some people will need that plus Excel and Word, but they don't need PowerPoint. So there's different varieties of the subscription, which again helps you control your cost, gives you the superior functionality that you may need, and helps you to grow your business. Office 365 for everybody, even if you're a one-person shop, is a no-brainer and a must-do. And believe me, if you're on a Gmail account, no offense to anybody with a Gmail or Yahoo account, you need to get your own domain name, and we need to get you on Office 365.
Really? Why is that?
Because it's more secure, all the reasons I just mentioned about the flexibility and the way you can grow it, and you certainly want to have, your brand in the domain name and not just using a Gmail account.
Oh,
even if you use your company name at Gmail, that's still not that good. It's much better to have your domain name be part of your brand and part of your email and your website and everything else. So it all comes together seamlessly.
Yeah. So with people not with more businesses having a virtual team, whether it's a sales force or a virtual assistant, if you're a one or two person type of thing, or if you're a larger second stage and you have people in multiple locations, Are you saying Office 365 would then be able to support that growth, regardless
Absolutely.
Of where they're located?
Absolutely. It'll support that growth. It'll allow them for collaboration through SharePoint. It will give them Skype, which is a link, which is now Business Skype.
Mm-hmm.
It'll give you all kinds of things, some of which you may not have used or even thought you would use. But once you do, it's just like having two. And by the way, I know three monitors. It's just like having two monitors. You know, you won't know how you lived without them.
Yeah. And the Business Skype is a little different in that it allows more functionality than the free Skype.
Absolutely. You
mm-hmm.
pay for what you get, right? I mean, that's
right.
kind of the old story.
Yeah. Well, and it, you know, if you're a person who has a training company, it's just really helpful to be able to link in and have your meetings online on Skype using more than one person.
Absolutely.
You also, you know, so how can I ask this? So who needs an IT support person and why? Like, does a one-person shop need an IT support?
Absolutely. And let me just explain to you why even a one-person shop could use an IT support person, because there's all kinds of support. But here's the thing that people should think about when answering that question for themselves, which, by the way, hint, hint, is part of the IT readiness, asking yourself that question, do you need an IT support person? What would it cost you if you didn't have any of your contacts, your email contacts, or your address book, or your Word documents, or your Excel, or your calendar? Let's say, what would it cost you for 1 hour or 2 hours if you didn't have access to those? Yeah, for most people, they go like, okay, 1-2 hours, so what? You know, maybe I fell asleep once. That happened to me. I didn't have access. No big deal. How about 1 day?
Mm.
How about 2 days? 3 days more? Do I hear 4 days?
You know,
what happens?
Not if you live by your calendar.
No.
I'm like,
oh,
I'm getting high just thinking about it.
You'd have IT guys like us doing miracles to resurrect your old IT data, print off your calendar, and then get you migrated to 365, right?
Mm-hmm, exactly.
So here's the thing. Here's the thing. Information technology has become something like a utility. It's like electricity. It's like mm-hmm. water. It's like heat. You almost can't live without those things. I mean, you could live without electricity, let's face it, but not water and not heat. And it's become very much akin to that. That's how much we depend on these devices. It's said that the average person in their lifetime will spend 3 times looking at their smartphone. 3 years of time, cumulative, looking at their smartphone. You know, we've become so dependent on these things. And with the millions and millions of options, preferences, choices, you need someone to help translate all that, what it means for you. Just because the greatest thing is out there, like Office 365, for example, doesn't absolutely mean that you need it. There are circumstances where you don't need it and shouldn't get it. But if an IT professional is working for you, not just selling you something, they can help ferret out. You know, do you actually need whatever this particular product is? Or if this particular product is being sold to you by somebody else, how is it actually going to work with you and your business and your IT infrastructure? Let me give you one final big example.
Mm-hmm.
Let's say your business has 3 people.
Mm-hmm.
Each person is earning $25 an hour.
Mm-hmm.
One of those 3 is good at working on computers in addition to his or her regular job. Person A had a problem with their computer. Person B, who's good at working with stuff on the computer, comes over to help person A. Now you have the business owner, person C, standing there, and he's watching $50 an hour standing there working on something that's not even related to the core business. You know, so not having someone to handle this stuff for you is costing you money.
Mm-hmm.
Figure out what you're paying people per hour. Figure out who's doing all the IT stuff. Figure out how many times they're not doing your core business, and that's a direct cost to you. So the
mm-hmm.
answer is, everybody who has a business needs an IT support person on
mm-hmm.
some level.
So does it cost a lot to have a monthly retainer with a professional IT service company?
Well, you know, I mean, cost is relative to, you know, to what you pay. let's first define this a little bit. You know, it's a little bit like a retainer. You know, a retainer is known as managed services agreement. That's what we more popularly call that in our industry.
Mm-hmm.
You know, a set of services that's performed on your behalf on your defined network on a monthly basis. So certain things happen every single month that you know you can depend on, whether it's patching your computers or updating it or supplying antivirus or checking the monitors, checking the alerts, finding out what's going to happen before it happens and letting you know, by the way, we see this problem coming. You know, so that's the retainer / managed services model.
Mm-hmm.
And that's going to vary depending on how big your shop is, how many devices you have, how many things mm-hmm. you have. But let me ask you this, or let me just bring this up real quick. Let's say that you don't have an IT support person, you don't have a retainer agreement, you don't have a managed services agreement, and something like CryptoLocker comes up. I'm sure everybody in this call has heard about CryptoLocker. And if not, let me just say real quickly, there is a virus that goes around, and once you've clicked on something in an email or an attachment, something might pop up on your screen, and it might say something like, your personal files are encrypted. You have 71 hours, 58 minutes, and 9 seconds to pay us $300 US, or you will not get your data back. Let me tell you, CryptoLocker, CryptoWall, and all of its variants, they are absolutely nasty. We can't even fix this. We can't even break the encryption.
Really?
We literally can't do. We cannot do it. There are people, Lisa, that you and I know, that have actually paid the ransom.
Oh,
there are people
gosh.
That paid this ransom and not got their money back, or not got their data back.
Oh no!
I'm not kidding. It is a $30 million a year industry. It's basically hostage terrorism, whatever you want to call it. It's
right.
Nasty.
Wow.
So, who needs an IT support person, and why? People who want to protect their data, who want to protect the integrity of their business, their client information, who need to be able to be up and running, who understand that they might have this problem. Because, you know, let's face it, it could still even happen to us as IT professionals.
Mm-hmm.
But we have our systems in place, and we know how to recover from that, and we can. And that's what we want you to be able to do as well.
Mm-hmm.
So,
you know, you talk about, too, back up your data. Tell me what that really means, and first tell me what that really means, because I have a question, a follow-up question to that.
Well, I mean, you know, let's define your data first. First you have to find out what's important to you, emails, attachments, pictures, Excel, databases, PowerPoint. Are those things important to you? Do they really matter? And then we got to talk about the cloud. And should everything be in the cloud, and what does that mean? You know, and the bottom line is what's important to you and what makes your business run, the things that if you don't have tomorrow are going to cause you headaches and cause a loss of business, those things have to be backed up. And
so
the only
is that,
way to make
is it, so if it's in the cloud, like are is a person still at risk if they have everything in the cloud? That's not backup.
It is and it isn't. So here's the more succinct answer. You have your data backed up if you follow this simple rule. 3, 2, 1. 3 copies of your data, 2 geographic regions, 1 locally, meaning in your office, next to the computer, or in the business, somewhere within arm's reach that you have that final backup. So 3 entire copies of your data, 2 separate geographic regions, maybe even bi-coastal, one on the West Coast, one on the
mm-hmm.
East Coast, but at least 2 different cities, and 1 locally. That is really, you've really backed yourself up, and you really have your data backed up in the cloud and locally if you followed that. If you haven't followed that, if you just have tapes, or if you just go into a thumb drive, or if you just go into a USB drive, you really haven't done anything except help yourself to sleep a little bit better at night until something happens, and then you call me and neither one of us will sleep.
Okay, so that's interesting. 3, 2, 1. That's really and I don't think people often think of having it in different locations. But, you know, if you think about it, if a tornado rips through your office, you know,
a fire or flood or water or electrical damage. You know, USB drives, they break. Thumb drives, they're definitely not reliable. I mean, really, they're not. Here's the final thing, and by the way, this is one of the three things that people absolutely positively have to be doing in order to protect their business. Here's the second one of those three.
Hmm.
Back up your data, test, restore your data, back up your data. Those three things. If you're doing that, even if you didn't do the 3-2-1, but you're backing it up, you're doing a test, restore, and you're backing up your data, then you're at least further ahead if you're at least doing that. 3-2-1, in addition to backup, test, restore, backup, is really what you got to do.
Okay. Now, how often should one upgrade their hardware?
Well, I like this question because, you know, it gives me a chance to say, oh, yes, buy more. You need it today. Buy, 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 buy. But here's the real answer. I mean, here's the honest answer. Workstations every 3 years, servers every 4 years, unless you're an early adopter, then both every 12 months. Most people are not early adopters, and I don't suggest that for anybody. And when I say workstations every 3 and servers every 4 years, I'm sitting right now in front of a laptop that was bought in 2011. That makes it 5 years old. Mm. I use it every day. I throw it in my backpack. I drag it around. It's been all across the country, and I still use it. It's the same hardware. But here's the difference. I've swapped out the hard drive from the original SATA to the now in chic solid-state drive, and I've doubled the RAM. So I still have a very, very good laptop that is reliable, that's fast, that boots up. It does everything I need because I've taken care of it. So sometimes it's a matter of upgrading the components and not replacing the whole entire thing just because prices have come down. And by the way,
is that something you help people with too?
Oh, absolutely. Absolutely. Mm-hmm. We always, always, always talk to people about how old the technology is, what do they invest, how long have they had it, do they like it. Oftentimes you see these computers now for $399, $499, $599.
Mm-hmm.
They may not be as good as the computer you bought 3 years ago for $1,200 or $1,400.
Mm.
You know, there's a reason why they have that price point, and there's a reason why they put them in some of the big box stores. You know, they want to do the volume, and then those stores are making money on service contracts, not on the hardware itself. So they can afford to put them out the door at cost as long as they're selling service contracts, which generally speaking are never used. People lose them, they get frustrated, they feel embarrassed, and they don't call for the service. So contracts are all gravy to those stores. So that's how often you should upgrade your technology.
Now, let's talk a little bit about computer security, because there's computer security and network security. What are the differences?
Lisa, I'm really glad you asked that one because a lot of people don't even think about this. You know, your workstations, they are protected by antivirus software. They're protected by antivirus software, and they're infected by you. So you, the human being, believe it or not, are the one who causes your workstation to get infected.
Because
you click on something, and it's innocent, and you didn't mean to do it, and you didn't know it was harmful. You happened to be at a lyrics website. You were looking for your favorite singer. Out of the thousands of songs, there was one particular lyric, and that particular lyric got hacked, and somebody put something in there, and you clicked on it, and next thing you know, you've got this thing on your screen saying, your personal files have been encrypted. You know, until the website developer catches up with it, and then they make the correction. But meanwhile, you know, you're held hostage. So click equals consent. No antivirus software can keep you from clicking or consenting to being infected by the virus. So that's the thing about workstations and antivirus software. Now let me tell you about the network side of security.
Firewall
is something that on your network that does packet inspection. It looks at what's coming in, and it says, okay, is this really a Word document? Is this really Excel? Is this really in an email? Is that attachment safe, or does it have a known signature in there that lets the whole world know, because of the knownness of the signature, that it's bad? The firewall will then block it. It'll keep it out of the network. It'll secure the network. Network security is also designed to, believe it or not, create holes. If you're checking your email, if you're on the web, that's because a specific hole has been opened and created specifically to allow traffic, in this case, HTTP or HTTPS, if you're going to a banking site, for example, traffic into your network. So it's secured at that level, but it's also allowed in very specifically. So network security in conjunction with computer security, very, very important. And understanding the differences, you know, depending on how big your network is, you most likely need to have both things in place. Minimally, you need the network security on the workstation, maybe a firewall, as well as a firewall at your perimeter, at your gateway.
And this is completely different than, you know, somebody's website security. That's a whole different ball game. Do you get those, you know, those calls as well, that people are looking for security on their website?
Absolutely. And security comes in layers. And if you have a website and you're putting out data, you're making information available, like I mentioned earlier about you're at a website, you're doing something innocently. Next thing you know, you get infected by some malware because somebody didn't protect their website, which is an open invitation for you to click on things within that website, which now may be infected. There is software that can be put on anybody's website by your hosting provider or someone skilled like me, who can then receive alerts to let you know, hey, some changes have been made to your website. Did you make them? Did your website developer make them? Or did someone else or some other thing make those changes? So, yeah, absolutely. There is, we do get calls like that, and there is products available.
And then I take it that then part of your services are to consult with people on what they need as a small business.
Absolutely, to figure out if they're ready and what their readiness standard is. Here's what I'd like to do. This is what I'd like to offer to everybody on this call today. If they would be willing to send an email to support.amiready, like A-M-I ready, am I ready, at a1networks.com, I will send them a one-page checklist that they can look at, follow up on. It's free. They can go through it. They can ask themselves these diagnostic questions. There's no cost, zero cost, no obligation, nothing. We're not even going to try to sell you anything. We'll just let you know what kind of things you should be looking at, which in part is going to be a summary of what you're hearing today, only more in a format of ask yourself this question, check this box.
And what was the email
as well
again?
As some other things. Support, S-U-P-P-O-R-T dot Am I ready? Like the question, am I ready at A1? Oh, yeah, that's right, Lisa. A1, you have to spell it the one. A-O-N-E, networks, plural, A1networks.com.
Great. I just want to make sure. And what I'll do, too, is I'll email everyone to make sure that, you know, that you have this email. So support dot amiready at aonenetworks.com. Okay, great. And
yeah.
Tell us a little bit about the ready. So the readiness standard, so I'm assuming there's a bunch of questions that they can ask themselves to see just how ready they are. And when you say a standard, whose standard?
Well, I mean, it's a widely accepted standard in the IT communities, but if they are, for example, a chiropractor and they're subject to HIPAA compliance, there's going to be a different standard that they need to be aware of. Now, we are not HIPAA compliance specialists by any means. There are people that do that, but certainly if somebody on the call today is subject to those kinds of things, we will help them evaluate and assess what's appropriate for their industry. So it's very generalized. What I will be sending out is very generalized, but we are happy to engage, and again, no obligation, talk to folks on this call today about where they're at and where they may need to go.
And what's an ideal client for you, Kevin, when you talk about, you know, there's certain, you know, people are in different spaces, right? You got your startups that, you know, get a new computer. You know, should they call you, or is this, you know, you're getting employees, you have a virtual team. Is that a better time to call you?
You know, Lisa, what we have traditionally said, and I mean traditionally as in all the way up to the first of this month, what we have traditionally said is a business owner with 3 to 5 computers, which means 3 to 5 employees typically. Sometimes you can have 10 or 15 employees and only 5 computers. We have companies like that. Typically 3 to 5 computers / employees that use the technology. It's not just that you have the computers in your office. They actually use them to do their job. That's really an ideal client. However, at the beginning of this month, we started to put together packages, now plural packages, for really even someone who's by themselves. They're just starting off. They've been in business 12 months or 18 months, and they're really still at that point of, I can't even tell you in dollars, but the packages can be a prepay where you prepay for phone support and remote support and on-site. You can literally prepay these packages, and then we bill in 15-minute increments. So every time you call in, it's not like you got to get out the checkbook or wait for an invoice. It's like, okay, I've prepaid this amount of time. They have a ticketing system. They're going to record their start and stop times, which is what we do, record the start and stop time in the ticket. Then you know exactly how long you're on the phone and what we were doing for that period of time, and it's prepaid.
Mm.
And they're very affordable packages. I mean, literally anybody in this call who's using technology ought to be able to afford one of these. We have churches on these packages.
Wow, okay, great. So what can you tell us the story of, you know, one of the most dreaded calls that you've worked with? What happened, if you can tell us, I mean, obviously no names and whatnot, what happened and how did you help them, and where weren't they prepared?
Well, I mean, literally it's very similar to that very first question about the call we get where they don't have their data and they don't have things backed up. We got a call, it was sometime in August. And the person had literally said almost the exact same scenario. There's a blinking cursor on my screen. I've done these things. I followed all the directions. I'm stuck. I can't get past this blinking cursor, and I need my Outlook. I need my calendar. This person really needed the calendar more than anything because that person's schedule was so incredibly full. And I was like, oh, no, what are we going to do? I mean, I was really feeling bad just knowing that the person was at a certain level of angst over this whole situation.
Mm-hmm.
So we thought about it. We talked through. We did, I don't know, we probably did an hour and a half's worth of work just talking that person through steps that we knew we would take because we really needed to get her back up, that person up and running very quickly.
Mm-hmm.
None of that worked. So we offered the person a chance to bring it in. We said we'd take a look at it. And fortunately, even though we couldn't get their system back up and running, we have some tools, and we were able to pull off a particular file, in this case a PST, personal storage table file.
Mm-hmm.
And that file that we were able to pull off, we could then load on one of our systems, and voila, we had their calendar back, we had their contacts back, we had most
wow.
of their email right there back at that time. Now, it didn't end for that person there. The whole thing still went on for several more weeks with some gyrations of, you know, a new computer or not a new computer, and then finally getting the new computer and getting things reconfigured. I mean, it was this very long process. But the point is, they got their data, they were up, they were running, they were able to use their calendar and at least function for the short term until we got them to that longer term solution.
Right. And I'm assuming that you know, having more you know, more backups and multiple access to those backups then going forward is going to be an important thing for people so they don't get into that position again. So there's a way to recoup that data if that should ever happen again.
Absolutely, 3-2-1, and incidentally, that's part of why we recommend Exchange, because that is also a way of having at least some important things like email and calendar backed up. That's another way to have it. I mean, you would still do a local backup of that. You wouldn't just rely on Microsoft or their systems, because they, even Microsoft and their systems can't protect you from human error. If you delete it, you deleted it. They can't get that back. But having a local copy of your data or an alternative backup, you can at least have a shot at getting back your human error.
Yeah. Now, excuse my ignorance for this question, but the Office 365, is that only for PC?
Absolutely not. I'm glad you asked that. In fact, one of the benefits of it, I probably should have mentioned this, is with the particular subscription they have, you can actually, for I think it's like $20 a month. And by the way, we don't sell it. We just help implement it. We don't earn money off of selling Office 365.
Mm-hmm.
We just help you implement it, maintain it, manage it.
Mm-hmm.
So it's not like I want to sell you licenses for $20 a month. But at the $20 a month level for that particular version, you get not one, not two, not three, not four, but five copies of Office 365 on five different devices, a laptop, a desktop, a home office, your smartphone, your tablet. That's five right there. And it doesn't matter if it's PC or Mac. So one person, one license, five devices. Think about it. I mean, for most of us, we have at least two, if not three devices. I know that I have iPad, Android. We now have a Mac in our office, as well as desktops and laptops. So it's a really good thing. And I can't stress this enough. Not every single Office 365 license has that attribute. Only certain ones. That happens to be what they call E3. There are other versions for lesser dollar amounts per month that you only get one copy.
Okay. Well, the interesting thing is, though, and I think you share this with me, is that let's say your phone gets hacked. Not only do you have to worry about your computer, but your phone can get hacked. And so if that happens and you got to go all the way back to shutting your phone and getting it to the manufactured, version.
Sure.
You can just immediately get the phone contacts back through 365. Is that right?
That is absolutely correct. That is one of the key benefits. Lose your phone, and depending on who your phone manufacturer is, in fact, with Office 365 properly installed, we can remote wipe that phone so that when it does come online, when it does go on the Internet, a signal can be sent, and boom, it gets then wiped out. That's one of the things you have to consent to when you accept the terms and conditions of Office 365, is that Microsoft can have remote access to your phone.
Oh, okay, got it. Now, what's the one thing, Kevin, that if people didn't hear on this call, what's one thing you would want them to write down right now so they take away?
I was originally going to tell you that this is a two-part answer, but let me just do it in a single, succinct sentence. And literally, people, if you have not heard this or if you've not taken notes on it, please write this down right now. Back up your data. Test restore your data. Back up your data. Do those three things. The test restore is critical.
Yeah,
if
tell me what you mean by
that.
Just briefly tell me what you mean by test restore.
Pick a file, pretend you need it, go to wherever you've backed it up, and restore it. Restore it to an alternative location. Don't put it in the same place that the original is,
mm-hmm.
and then compare the two. Make sure that they're the same. So a test restore is testing your backup. If you've backed it up, fine, but how do you know the backup works? You don't know until you need it. Okay. How do you know when you're going to need it? You don't know when you're going to need it. So you better test restore your data. You don't know when you're going to need it, and you won't know if it's good until you need it, so you better test restore it. And maybe even do a full restore every now and then, just depending on your business and how valuable your data is to you.
Mm-hmm.
I know my data is very valuable to me, and I literally couldn't live without it.
Right,
well,
right.
I could live without it, but I'd probably be poor.
Well, what's really interesting is what you shared about how a certain malware or viruses could, they're locking up, they're keeping, you're they're keeping your intellectual property hostage.
Absolutely. Absolutely.
That's crazy.
And they may not even give it back even if you pay. Yeah, it's absolutely the worst. And, you know, we predicted it was going to be a lot worse by now. It's bad. It's not as bad as we thought. But anytime someone does get hit, it's a new variant. And a new variant means that it's mutated into something a little bit different, so it wasn't quite known and couldn't be stopped.
Mm.
So if you get caught by it, don't feel foolish. Just realize, I don't know if I should say this, but I'll go out on a limb here and I'll say this. This is, and don't write this one down, but it's actually something you could do. If you ever see on your screen something that says your data or your files have been encrypted, you see this for the very first time, and I mean the very first time, if you take your hands off the mouse, walk away from the keyboard, find the power cord in the wall, and pull it out, and then call me, you got a shot at maybe not even getting infected. But the moment you click or close or move or shake the mouse or hit a key, all those things equal consent.
Oh.
And you're going to get infected and you're screwed. It's an insider's tip, and I almost don't want to say it because I don't know if I like the legal ramifications of that, but you can do it, and I've actually done it this week myself on my own computer.
Really?
Yeah, absolutely.
Interesting.
I won't say what website it was on, but it was an innocent website. I was doing a very normal thing, and all of a sudden I saw this thing on my screen. I'm like, uh-oh. And I literally took those steps and then, of course, did a full blown malware cleanup on my computer right after that.
And
it's an insider's tip. You won't hear it anywhere else.
Well, I love that. I love that. and I've never heard that before. So any chance that that could work, why not? Why not try it?
Absolutely.
And too, Kevin, I wanted to ask you, share with us your website, your phone number, all your contact information so that if people do want to get a hold of you and have you come look at their computer systems and, you know, set you up, where can you be contacted?
Thank you for asking, Lisa. Our website is A1, you got to spell out the one, so that's going to be A-O-N-E, networks, plural, a1networks.com. That's our simple website. It has the rest of our contact information on there, but I will give everybody my personal cell phone number. That number is 734-891-2132. 2132 are the last four. And honestly, I hope this doesn't sound rude, but it's typically best if you at least text me first, because
mm-hmm.
I give out that personal cell phone to basically quite a few people.
Mm-hmm.
So it's usually best to send me a text, say, hi, this is your name from Lisa Menini's program. Do you have a second?
Mm-hmm. Great.
And if not, you can just call directly, but I'm just suggesting that so mm-hmm. I can at least have a slight heads up. I juggle a lot of things. We have school districts. We have businesses across the state. There's always something going on. We're growing. So
and
I want
Kevin,
to give out the cell phone number.
Do you work with anybody anywhere?
Absolutely. And when we do that, we only offer services that are appropriate for them and us. I'm not going to promise you the moon and figure out how to deliver it. I'm going to let you know exactly what you need and what we can deliver. And if we can't, then we have partners, we have people all over the United States and Canada that we may have to hook you up with depending on the circumstances.
Perfect.
Yes, we absolutely do.
Wonderful, yes, because we have people from all over listening, so I just want to make sure, that we're, what are your scope of services. So thank you for that. And thank you so much, too, for coming on the Business Accelerator call. I just learned so much today, Kevin, that I didn't realize and definitely going to look into the IT readiness to make sure that we're ship shape here. So thank you so much for coming on the call and for providing really great content tonight on how to protect your data, your intellectual property, your computer systems, and the bottom line is your business and profitability.
Absolutely, and thank you so much for having me, Lisa. I've known you for many years. We've done great things together. I've loved the different workshops of yours that I've been in, and please, please, please keep doing what you are doing because it's making a difference.
Oh, thank you, Kevin. And hey, we're going to see you at the Wake Up Profitable then. Everybody can meet you there.
Absolutely.
Great, great, wonderful. Well, again, thank you, Kevin, and thank you, everybody, for coming on today's call. And until next time, create a great life. Bye, everybody.